Thank you for your patience, ladies and gentlemen. The Kernel Holdings first quarter 2019 to 2020 results call will begin shortly. During the presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask a question by pressing star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kernel Holdings first quarter 2019 to 2020 results call. My name is Kieran and I'll be coordinating your call today. If you would like to ask a question during the presentation, you may do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. I will now hand over to your host, Marcin Gortat, to begin. Marcin, please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm glad to welcome you to conference call of Kernel. Today, we will discuss Q1 2020 results. The presentation for the call is available at the company's website. And the company today is represented by Andriy Wierewski, Chairman of the Board, Anastasia Uzahova, CFO, and Yuri Kovalchuk, Corporate Investment Director. So we'll start with the presentation, and then there will be time for your questions. So now let me hand over to the company.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, dear ladies and gentlemen. Today we are presenting Kernel's financial results for the 3 months ended 30th September 2019, and this is our first quarter of our financial year 2020. Group revenue is reporting period total 846 million, EBITDA stood at 107 million, and net profit is 59 million. Financial leverage increased to 3.3 times net debt to EBITDA as of 30th September 2019. I take you as usual through the segments. I will start from oilseeds processing business, which generated $22 million of EBITDA, is up 38% year to year, while the vegetable oil sales volume in reporting period normalized to 300,000 from unusual high 400,000 tons in the first quarter financial year 19. EBITDA margin increased to $74 per ton of oil, which is 85% up year to year, mainly driven by higher year to year global sunflower oil prices and sufficient supply of some seeds due to the strong last year harvest in Ukraine. Outlook for crushing business in the current season is positive. We estimate sunflower seeds harvest in Ukraine this season to set a new record around 16 million tons, which is compared to 15.2 last year. As a result, we expect to process 3.3 million tons of oil seeds in financial year 20, out of which we already crushed 0.6 million tons in the first quarter. Driven by strong supply of sun seeds in Ukraine and recovering global sunflower seed oil prices, we improve our full-year outlook for the business, expecting crushing margins to average near $85 per ton of oil. in full financial year 2020. Infrastructure and trading segment EBITDA in the first quarter totaled 35 million, which is down 8% year to year. We did 1.6 million tons of grain exported from Ukraine. We generated $22 per ton of EBITDA margin, which is 21% decline year to year. We have strong contribution from infrastructure business. Silos, export terminals, and the grain rail cars performed pretty strongly, and also marginally positive Avera results. But at the same time, year to year, trading margins decline. First of all, because the wheat and barley prices was pretty low and soft, and which was actually our major grain export in financial in the first quarter financial year 2020. So generally speaking, the compressed profitability of the trading business is putting pressure for the whole value chain of the infrastructure in trading. So we estimate the crop size of the three major grains, corn, wheat, and barley in Ukraine of 73 million tons in the current season, which is up 8%, driven mainly by wheat and barley production growth. Corn harvest will remain unchanged. This new record will secure strong domestic supply of a grain and good utilization of the grain export infrastructure. We maintain our target to export over 8 million tons of grain from Ukraine, which is 33% up year to year, and 7 million tons for our 7 million tons of volume throughput for our terminal, which is 50% growth, including Transgrade Terminal, which will be the final stage commissioning schedule for January 2020. Outlook for infrastructure margins are expected to be flat as compared in 2020 compared to financial year 19, but trading margin may weakening driven by weak global grain prices. At the same time, the surging grain volumes and substantial contribution coming from grain rail cars shall drive infrastructure and trading division EBITDA generation 60-70% up year to year in full financial year 2020. EBITDA contribution for farming segment amounted $58 million in the first quarter. As of today, we completed our 2019 harvest campaign with 530,000 hectares. Wheat was 5.9 tons per hectare, which is up 16%. Sun seeds, 3.5 tons per hectare, up 11%. While corn normalized to 8.6 tons per hectare, which is down 13% year to year. Owing the softer corn yield, and corn is our major product in terms of volume, lower grain prices and growing production costs, future inflated by local currency appreciation, we expect full-year farming segment over $100 million EBITDA in a full financial year 2020. This result will be net of IFRS 6 effect. Yeah, that's about farming. The weaker farming contribution in financial year 2020, which we forecast, is supposed to be offset by better performance of oil seeds processing and infrastructure trading segments, which should translate into the full year EBITDA consolidated, potentially comparable, flat to the last year results, net of IFRS 16 effect. On the credit side, in October 19, we issued $300 million bonds, 5 years, 6.5 coupon to finance our working capital needs and general corporate needs. Execution of our strategy 2021 is progressing as expected. Transgrain terminal and the free energy heat and power plants are planned to be commissioned during the financial year 2020. We reconfirm the original guidance for the CAPEX deployment, having around $300 million investment scheduled for the financial year 2020, both expansion and maintenance, As well, we're confirming that the rest of the 150 million investment for the financial year 2021. This is pretty much it from my side. Please go ahead with your questions. Hello?
Operator, we are ready to take questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypads. And if you change your mind, press star followed by two. Our first question comes from Pavel from Wood & Company. Pavel, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for holding the conference and taking questions. My first question would refer to the 2020 EBITDA guidance. Could you just confirm that you said that it should be flat year-on-year net of IFRS 16 impact?
Yes.
Okay, my second question refers to the rail cars contribution to your EBITDA in 2020, 2021, and what was last year. Could you please provide the nominal EBITDA figures for these 3 years, so last year, this year, and next year?
So, one second, let me take a look. So the last year EBITDA from the railway wagons was around 19, I guess. One second, Anastasia, can you comment on that?
Last year total contribution was in the range of 9 million from railway.
Yeah, 9 million.
This year?
This year we supposed to be around 48.
And 48 in the next.
Yeah. And the 2021 is going down to 35.
35. Okay, great. Thank you so much. My next question refers to your EBITDA target presented in your strategy 3 years ago. Do you still confirm it's 500 million for 2021? And is this including IFRS 16 impact, or excluding it?
And first of all, for 2021, we would probably not be able to deliver that, and it's going to be the postponed for the 2022 during the CapEx expansion. And yes, we are working around this number, but obviously precise 500, it would be very aggressively to give you this guidance. It's going to be like within this maybe 5% plus minus to this amount. But it's obviously
okay,
net of IFRS 16.
Okay, great. What kind of margin evolution do you expect in your trading business? Flat year on year, because you guided
which trading business you mean?
In
grain
the
or?
Export in grain and export terminals.
We believe that for the export terminals, obviously the export terminals margins will depend on the crop size in Ukraine. If we maintain more or less the same amount of the harvest, size of the harvest which we having this year, we expect the terminal margin should stay more or less flat. For the grain margin, grain trading margin will depend on the two inputs. First of all, size of the crop and also the prices. If prices will be weak and low, the farmers are really reluctant to sell, and it's not easy to manage the good margins. For example, if you compare last year with this year, even we have a good crop and good crop pressure, for the wheat and barley, it was so difficult to make the strong margins. So that's why the margins was under pressure. So it depends on the prices and the crop size. Then this margins will fluctuate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, clear. Could you please provide your forecast or expectations for EBITDA from green energy projects? For this year, you said it was $6 million as far as I remember. And for the next 2 years?
So for green energy, EBITDA for this year will be 5. Next year we're expecting 50, and the 21 will be 50, and the 22 should be 75.
75. Okay, perfect. And revenues?
I don't look at revenues. Sorry.
Okay. No problem at all. Could you please remind us the debt covenants that you have for this year, next year?
Anastasia, can you comment on this, please?
Majority of our debt today is actually our euro bonds. Both have the same covenant, interest cover ratio 3 times. That's for 800 million in total. The rest related to bank facilities. I would not disclose the level of the covenants. I can confirm that we adjusted our covenants, taking into consideration IFRS 16, and we have sufficient room there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much. Maybe two more questions from my side. What do you think about the crop prices for the full year this year? Should they stay at this low level or should they start recovering significantly? And what is your position in the farming segment? Are you long still or you have hedged your position?
Obviously, I don't know where the prices will go. I doubt it if everyone does, but we believe that generally speaking, the downside for corn and the soybeans and the oil is pretty limited, just given because of the cost of production in Ukraine and the United States and Brazil and Argentina. We believe that the farmers on that current prices are pretty much break even. So obviously we can see more downside, but I think it's rather limited. Upside, difficult to say. I mean, we hope so, but it's so many things can influence on the prices. So I would probably not comment on that. In terms of farming, yes, we're still long, but we sold already a big chunk of that. I mean, probably around 65-70% we already sold, but we still remain long for some parts.
Okay, thank you. And my last question refers to the land reform. Do you have any new considerations over the land price? You mentioned recently during the last call that the land of price may be between $1,700 to $2,000 per hectare. Do you think there has been any material change in your view within this regard? And do you think that there might be some large foreign player entering Ukrainian market following the liberalization of land trade?
Well, there's no news and no any consideration over the land price. I think we still stick with our forecast, and the rest will market will show what the price, how the land will trade. We don't see any big internationals coming. We need to see, first of all, the law. It's at the moment, the government and the president wants to overall exclude foreign players from the land reform at the first stage. So parliament voted for the first reading of the law, of the land reform, and I guess towards the end of the calendar year, they should potentially vote for the whole and final law, and let's see what's going to be in it, and then we will take it from there.
And what's the number of farmers you're leasing the land from, roughly?
Say again?
What's the number of farmers that you are leasing your land bank from, roughly?
We're not leasing from farmers. We're leasing from the physical persons. If I'm not mistaken, maybe around 150 or maybe 200,000. Because average contract is, I guess, 2.5 hectares. I don't know. Anastasia, can you, or Yuri, do we have a statistic on that? Because I'm not sure I'm precise on the numbers.
Yeah, so basically...
Roughly
average ownership around 3 hectares.
Free, okay. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. 80,000 hectares owned by private individuals divided by three, so it's like 150,000 households.
And the plus, we have a government land, 10%, so 50,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Around
100.
Yeah.
50 or 150? Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from Jakub from mBank. Jakub, your line is now open. Please go ahead. Jakub, your line is now open. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to ask about your target debt net to EBITDA ratio at the end of the year. I remember that it was 2.5 on the last call. And regarding this IFRS 16, how would it change?
Honestly, I would stay at the moment out of IFRS 16 because I mean we need to adjust it. Anastasia, maybe you can comment after my answer regarding this IFRS 16 effect. Generally speaking, we would like to keep the 2.5 covenant. We might be slightly higher, depends obviously what the EBITDA we will produce at the end of the year. We might be slightly higher because of this year, financial year 2020 is the top of the year in terms of our capex deploy. So we might be higher than 2.5, but not too much. But regarding the IFRS 16, Anastasia?
Taking into consideration IFRS 16, we will be higher than 2.5 this year. It will be around 3 times. And then leverage will go down and we will be below 2.5.
Okay, thank you. And the last question regarding the dividend policy. I know that it's like constant for the last year, but there were some intentions to change it in the near future, like in the next 2 years. And regarding this IFRS 16, how do you find this? Because right now you are pursuing the biggest capex ever, and this IFRS brings you another debt. And what would it be for a long time that you will pay this like very, very, very low dividend?
IFRS 16 for us is a non-cash item, so I don't think it's really influenced on our dividend policy at all. But the dividends increase, our plan is, as was we already said on the previous call, we would like to finish our CapEx program, and towards the end of the 2021, we will obviously take into consideration how fast will go the land reform as well. So we will be communicating to shareholders and investors our new policy.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Nicolai from Insight Investment. Nicolai, your line is now open.
Hi.
Please go ahead.
Hi, many thanks for the presentation. Just a couple of questions from my side. First of all, I think compared to the full year presentation, you seem to have raised the forecast for the kind of sunflower oil harvest in Ukraine for the next year. Are there any risks to that estimate for the overall sunflower harvest?
No, I think sun seeds is, yeah, definitely our view was lower than finally what we've seen after the harvest completed. We believe that 16 million is a reasonable number, and we don't see the way to review it down.
Got it. And in terms of the working capital flow, I think usually you had most of the working capital outflow in the second quarter, and now it's kind of large outflow in the first quarter. Is it because you see kind of more seeds available, so you're buying more earlier, or what's the
yes,
driver?
Exactly. The margin is good, better than last year, so we try to secure as much as possible sun seeds and locked in the margin, and that's why you see the working capital spike.
Do you expect further working capital increase in the second quarter as well?
Compared to the second quarter last year, maybe a little bit, but then it's going to go down after February.
Okay. And also, I wanted to ask on the bank covenant. Just wanted to check. You used to disclose it before, I think. Is it still kind of, is it net leverage covenant, and is it tested annually as it used to, or are there any changes to them?
Anastasia?
No, there is no change in the structure of the covenants. It's still tested annually, and we never actually disclose the covenants.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And the last one, maybe on a small topic, on the litigation that you have with Stuomi Holding, right? I think the report says that there is a tribunal award awaited in December. What's the expectation for that, and what's potential cash outflow for Kernel regarding the litigation?
Anastasia, correct me if I'm wrong. We already have we reserved the amount, right, of the decision, correct or not?
Yeah, that's correct.
I mean, it's tough to say on the December. Once we get the award, we definitely make the announcements.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of cash outflow, you still need to pay it. And is it large? Is it like single digit?
I don't think we're going to pay it in December because it's still a long process of appeal and stuff. It's not final.
Okay. And in terms of scale, is it single digit, million, double digit, triple? Just to understand.
Anastasia, remind me the number.
No, the amount in the amount in the provision is close to 28 million to 8. That's included all the interest, etc. But we need to see the decision. It's not a reflection of our estimation. This is based on the first decision of the court.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. Our next question comes from Constantine from Adamon Capital. Constantine, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the call. I just had a question about the infrastructure segment. Could you give us a bit more detail on the profit that Avera made? Because I see in the financial statements that you have, I think it's 15.4 million of net gains arising from financial assets classified at fair value. Is that, I'm guessing that's related to Avera. And it's about, so 15 million. Could you comment on that? And then also, are you still receiving proceeds at the Taman terminal? Because I think you were leasing that out. That probably still is in your financial results. So just a bit more clarity on that segment would be nice.
Thank you. Taman, yes, according to the budget and according to the contract with Glencore, we should get the 9 million over the year. From Avera is definitely not 15 because the Avera result in the first quarter is marginally positive. But 15, Anastasia, can you comment from that point of view?
Please repeat your question just to be sure that.
If we look at the cash flow statement, there is a net gain on financial assets classified at fair value through profit and loss, and it's 15.45 million. And so the question was, is this related to Avera? Is this a gain that was booked by Avera?
Yeah, a big chunk is related to Avera.
Okay, so how does that sort of match with Avera profits being marginal? Like, because can you explain like how that figure has or how you got to that figure? I mean, it sort of matches the two realities of Avera sort of making small profits, relatively small profits, right? and then the 15.4 million.
Yeah, that's because that's only one item of our operation, and they might have gain in one type of operation and loss on the other side. So you cannot read really P&L of our from cash flow statement, unfortunately.
Okay, I see. So basically, the other losses are cash based, I'm guessing, right? So this is a revaluation gain, and that must be that the we're losing money on a cash basis. Is that true then?
I honestly speaking, I am not ready to answer this question because I have to go then through the total P&L. But P&L is always a combination of cash and non-cash items.
Okay, all right. But so could you then?
It's minor.
Okay. So last, I believe that in the first quarter of 2019, I think that during the call, I think the guidance that was given for Avera, the profit, roughly the EBITDA contribution was roughly 10 million. Are you willing to disclose what it is this time, or are you not giving this information?
Anastasia.
Yeah, just a second. The current amount is around 2 million.
2 million. Okay. All right. And then I had one more question on the farming segment. So if I look at the EBITDA contribution, excluding biological revaluation, what I see there is that it's an increase from last year. And I'm guessing that this means that you are selling your crops at a quicker pace than last year. Is that a correct assertion?
Anastasia, will you comment on the quarterly sales, please?
On the quarterly sales of farming?
Farming.
Yeah, the farming segment, yeah. So just I can just repeat that. So when I look at the EBITDA contribution, it's 24 million, excluding biological revaluation, and then last year it was 11 million. So I'm guessing, right, that this means higher volumes.
Because the problem, I am a little bit lost. Would you please send your question and we will answer your question to be sure that you know we answered it correctly.
Okay, got it. Okay, and then just one last thing. So you mentioned that you're expecting to have the green energy contribution will be growing, right? So from this year to next year, I think you said 50 million you expect next year and 5 million for this year. And will that go towards the oil segment? So are we going to see essentially an increase in margins and calculated margins?
That's a good question. I don't think we haven't. It probably will go for the oil seeds processing segment. But if you want to ask us in a separate way, we can always comment to you how much exactly we make from green energy. Internally, we definitely count it as a separate profit and loss, but in accounting, it will go in the oil and processing segment.
Okay, right. Yeah, because if we're talking about, you know, the EBITDA contribution from oil seed processing is around 100 million, right? It's 50 million.
Yeah, it's substantial, I know.
That's a big distortion. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a final reminder, to ask any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. We currently have no further questions on the phone line.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for the call. As usual, if you have any more questions, please refer to us, and we're gonna try to answer all your questions. Thank you very much. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's call. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your